feel bad. It's okay to be depressed if something happens in your life. It's okay to be stressed out. It's okay to be angry, right? And we have this life that everybody's like, that's not okay. You need a mental health day. Right. You need to relax. Right. Yeah, well, I don't buy into that.
Yeah.
I'm not buying into any of that. Because what I also think it does is it allows people to feel like it's okay to not push forward.
To struggle,
because anything you do worth
misery loves company.
Yeah.
Right.
And anything worth having is going to be hard.
Yeah.
What's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Moore, and we're here with the Whiskey Wednesday segment. And my main man, Mr. Dave Savolich. What's up, brother?
Hey, buddy. How you
ready
doing?
Ready to go? So, guys, these are our short, sweet, to-the-point episodes. Dave has a list of things we're going to go through. First, we go talk about some things going on in our world. We're going to talk about a short-term rental topic and then some questions that you guys send in. Always as a reminder, if you have questions, DM us, comment on whatever platform you're watching or listening on. We'll make sure that those questions get onto an upcoming episode so that we can answer them for you. So, let's dive right in, Dave. What do we got today?
Sunday afternoon blues.
Oh.
You get them?
Oh, Sunday afternoon blues.
You get them?
You know, I don't really get Sunday afternoon blues.
Yeah.
No, I know people talk about them.
Yeah.
Sundays are one of my favorite days because we really just disconnect. It's a family day for us. We disconnect. We hang out. I love Sundays where like you really can't, like you text me and like it's hard to get hold of me on Sundays. Right. And so it's one of those days, but when I'm ready, I like I'm almost addicted to kind of what we do. We're to the point now where with what we do, like I enjoy coming in and getting back at it.
That's exactly the segment. It's perfect segmentation to get back into where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
I think it's awesome that you feel that way. You know, I worked for a big medical supply company for 22 years before I came over here full time. And I will have to say a lot of time in my career, I got the Sunday afternoon blues. About 3-4 o'clock, I was like, oh man, I got to go back to work tomorrow.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I think it's a real thing. I think it's, you know, Sundays are an awesome day. I will say that since I've been with Vodacy, I don't have the Sunday afternoon blues. I love it.
Nice.
I love coming in on Mondays.
Makes me happy.
I love tackling the day.
I like hearing that.
I know it is. Yeah. It's interesting because it really is important to be able to enjoy the full Sunday. And I would say if you are having the Sunday afternoon blues, you ought to kind of take a check in the mirror and say, hey, am I doing what I really love to do? Now, there's people that are forced to do certain things and they have to because of the means and different things. I get it. If you are that person that says, hey, I'm kind of tired of having the Sunday afternoon blues. I want to do something else. I want to, you know, I want to better myself. I want to have a better future. I want to do something different. I don't like my W-2. That's a great segment into, let's get you into the short-term rental market. We've talked on previous episodes, it doesn't happen overnight. And I don't suggest quitting your W-2, but I do suggest taking actions and taking steps to get you towards what that goal is and what that future may look like for you.
And it's really interesting. So I've never worked for anybody. I've always worked for myself, but I have definitely had hiccups in my career. Like when we talk about like Sundays, like people ask me all the time, they're like, why do you work so much? Like, why do you like my family, especially they're like, why are we working? Like, why do you, like if I drive by, I feel like I see your truck at the office.
Yeah.
I love it. Like it, to me, it's a game. To me, it's like you're diving in and you're getting after it. And it's this, you know, it's not always easy. It's not always fun as far as like, you know, like it's a party every day around the office. That's not the case, but I love what we're doing.
Right.
And so I don't have really other hobbies that I want to do outside of, like, I really forced myself on Sundays to say, hey, this is going to be a family day. It's a day that the kids don't typically have a bunch of stuff. Like, right. Like Teresa and I have a very, and I don't know if it's a weird relationship or odd or, but it is to some people. Like, she's like the CEO of the family, right? Yeah. I'm the CEO of the business. We both have our roles and she does an amazing job of that. And then, I let her run that. Right. And I get involved and I love going to the games and the stuff, but Teresa gets them to practices and Teresa gets them to all of the things that they do. She homeschools the kids. Right. She makes sure that they're doing their thing. They're busy all week long. So it's not like they're getting neglected because I'm not there. At least I don't feel like it. Right. There are definitely sacrifices and there's times that I'm not there. When we're doing things, then I focus on this, but I like it. I like doing what we're doing.
Yeah.
And when we talk to people about their, you know, they get this, you know, if you talk, you know, the Sunday afternoon blues where you're like, I dread going back, it's Monday,
right?
You know, and everybody's looking forward to Friday. this is a hamster wheel that can be very, very depressing, right? And it's depressing because you don't feel like you have an out. You're not going to probably, whether it's short-term rentals or any other type of investment that you take, I love real estate in general for the average person. Everybody knows that about me. Like, I'm a big real estate guy. I like short-term rentals, particularly because they allow us to invest in quality assets that appreciate a little bit higher rates. They make a little bit more money than long-term rentals, and they're accessible to the average everyday American, right? Yep. You don't have to go raise money for multifamily commercial deals, all that different stuff, right? So they're accessible. I love them. I think they're a really good vehicle. It doesn't happen overnight though.
Right.
But when you're off of that, when you say, okay, I'm going to commit to something, I'm going to chase that dream, because here's the problem with society right now, in my opinion, is we've made it okay to sit on the sidelines. We've made it okay to say, hey, listen, you need your personal days. You need your mental health days, and right, you need all this other stuff. It's, you know, you shouldn't feel bad about things. It's okay to feel bad. It's okay to be depressed. If something happens in your life, it's okay to be stressed out. It's okay to be angry, right? And we have this life that everybody's like, that's not okay. You need a mental health day. Right. You need to relax.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I don't buy into that.
Yeah.
I'm not buying into any of it. Because what I also think it does is it allows people to feel like it's okay to not push forward,
to
because anything you do worth
misery loves company.
Yeah.
Right.
And anything worth having is going to be hard.
Yeah.
And it's going to be stressful. And you're going to be pissed off at times. And it's going to make you sad at times.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to make sacrifices. And so if we keep being told that, hey, you don't have to do that, and it's all about happiness, and it's all about doing everything you can to feel the best you possibly can, well, I don't believe that that's helping you feel the best you possibly can. I think feeling the best you possibly can is battling through some of the stressful times, the anger and the sadness and the sacrifices, and getting on the other side of it and saying, man, looking back, I did that. This is where going back to the question of son, you know, and maybe you were trying to go this direction or not. I don't know.
No, sorry, I was saying,
But on the Sunday afternoon blues and looking and saying, if I feel like, you know, every Friday I'm so excited because I can disconnect from, and I can party and I can have a few drinks and I can unwind and I can, you know, basically set a date for, you know, for the weekend. And then that hangover comes on Sunday afternoon and I say, shoot, I got to go do this again. I got to go back to work. Right. I got to battle through another 5 days before I can have any more fun.
Yeah.
That's a problem, right? I would hate to feel that way. A depressing life. Now, what if you said, okay, I'm going to take that life and I'm going to take that job and I'm going to look at it as a tool and as a resource for me to start building something else. And I'm going to have to give up. I'm going to have to sacrifice some time. I'm going to have to commit to learning something new, whether it's short-term rentals or not. Let's remove the fact that we think short-term rentals are the best option for people. And if you want to get into it, call us. We want to help you. We've got a proven path for it. But let's remove that completely from the equation. Figure out something bigger and better than what you've got today that you want to work toward and that you're going to commit toward. Because what if you say, hey, listen, I've got this job that pays my bills. I'm not super excited to go today, but I realize that by having this job, I can lever that active income into something bigger and better for a certain amount of time. Yep. And the longer your time horizon is, the bigger and better the outcome's going to be, right? That the longer that process can be, the bigger the prize is going to be at the end. Now, all of a sudden on Sundays, I'm kind of excited to get going because I want to lever that as much as possible to start building something else, right?
Yep.
And so maybe that helps people, maybe that doesn't. But if I was in that situation, and I've been in a situation where I've lost everything. I've never been in a situation where I had to do it like I was going punching a clock that I hated, right? And I didn't want to do. But I've been in two situations where I literally lost everything. I lost everything. I had nothing in the bank. And that's a little easier position to be in because your back's against the wall, right? It's not hard to move forward or go up when you're at rock bottom.
Right.
And sometimes we hear those stories like they're so heroic and it's so amazing that people come out of that. That's not that hard to come out of because you have to. What's hard is when you're on this hamster wheel and you're getting very comfortable sitting on the sidelines. Everything in media and on the news and everybody around you tells you it's okay. Don't feel bad. You shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do that. You don't need to chase your dreams. You know, you don't want to take those big risks anymore. And you're just getting pacified into this life of that you don't like, right? And that you're this hamster wheel that you don't want to be on. Maybe look and say, okay, let me try to figure out what I've got, look at it as a resource and say, how can I leverage this resource? Maybe I want that resource forever. Maybe I don't,
right?
And I'm like, you know, I had a niece that was, I said, hey, how's your new job going? She said, well, it's great if you like a 10 by 10 office with no windows and you can never leave it. And I'm like, what is attitude, right? I'm like, really?
Right.
I mean, I can just, right. That answer alone is going to tell me she's never going to progress until she gets past that type of thinking, right? She's never going to get any better until she gets past that. And it's really sad.
Well, and it's way easier to address some of those challenges and stresses of a Sunday afternoon blues when you have something bigger and better that you're working for.
That's it.
And so on the horizon, we're taking steps, we're taking action to be better and to better our lives and better our things. Hey, I still have to go to work every day and sit in that 10 by 10 room, but I'm also on the side, or I'm committed to making short-term rentals an amazing asset class for me. And in 3 to 5 years from now, I'm not going to be in that 10 by 10 anymore. That's another way to like take some action. And you always say, you know, get off the sidelines, get off the bench, get in the game.
Right.
And it just starts with getting in the game. And you may not be playing the whole game. You may not be a starter, but at least you're in there now and I'm going down this path.
Right.
So I think that's so huge for us. So
yeah, I think it's just, it's an attitude that I think that, I mean, we're built for that.
Right.
People are built
to
move forward. They're built to overcome challenges. They're built to keep raising the bar. And when you get out of that, that's when the stress comes. That's when you feel like I don't have options and you get really depressed. And, you know, I've never been a person that's ever experienced depression, but you know, when you see and talk and hear about people that deal with depression, it's a real thing.
Yeah.
A lot of it is just the lack of options, the perceived lack of options, right? And trying to, at least in my opinion, when I've heard about it from the sideline looking in, it seems like it's like it would be depressing if you feel like, you know, I can't look past where my situation is to see the options on the other side. Be in love with the process, not the prize. Ed Milet says that all the time. Like, just be okay starting to move forward, because that's how we're built. And and you will find that energy will start to build. If you were like, oh, it's awesome. You know, I've got my 10 by 10 office. It's great. I'm in there by myself. Like, I can get my work done. Like, what about looking at it that way? And like, there's no distractions. I don't have a bunch of windows to look out of. Like, look at it a little bit more positive, because before you know it, if you give your all to that job, all of a sudden you do have windows. If you keep giving your all to the job, maybe you have another opportunity for a corner office and with better windows. Right. Yeah. I mean, with that attitude, you're going to still be complaining. Right.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm going to butcher this, but Alex Hormozi, I read something that he was talking, or he said on a Twitter tweet that he put out, and he said, there is a direct correlation between the amount of money somebody has and the amount of complaints that they have come out of their mouth. Like, if they complain and point fingers at stuff, he said they will have way less money in their bank account than somebody that does not do that.
Yeah.
And so,
and
it was something to that effect. I know that, like, go look up his account, because he articulated it much better than I did.
But there is one thing that can make or break your success with short-term rentals, and that's your ability to provide your guests with an amazing night's rest. We're taking all of the guesswork out of selecting the perfect mattress system. Personally, I have these custom mattresses in every one of my short-term rentals. We love them so much that we even got them in our own personal homes here in Utah. So visit VodiceySleepSystem.com and use the promo code PODCAST. It's all caps at checkout to get 55% off.
Change subjects a little bit. Let's talk about properties. And, you know, we talk a lot about we've used an example, your Cherry Log property and the amazing numbers that have come out of there and the case study that you did. I also want people to realize and understand we have hundreds of properties, success stories, and numbers and data that we can show on Vodacy.com. So if you go to www.vodacy.com, we have testimonials, and we also have case studies on there that are real case studies of real members that have dove into their property and said, hey, Vodacy, I am so thankful for what you've done. I want you to use me as a case study. Sometimes we ask them to allow us to use them as a case study. And the numbers are real. I want people to realize, in most cases, we don't show your and my properties and the numbers there. We want to show our members' properties.
Right.
And I don't think a lot of people in the industry, you know, maybe some of the other gurus, some of the other trainers, teachers and stuff, they don't use other properties. And we use a lot of that on your webinars, on your podcasts, on all that kind of stuff. We're using real life examples of people and their successes.
I've been doing this for a long time.
Right.
But there's also something to be said about, you know, just because I can do it, you know, Michael Jordan's the best basketball player in the world. Is he the best coach? Maybe not. We don't know, right? Yeah. And so we had to also say, okay, do we have a process that can be followed that other people that don't have the experience that I have and don't have the intuitions that I have because of the tens of thousands of hours of seeing the things that I've seen, do we have a process they can follow and still have success? That's our philosophy of why we show their case studies, why we show their properties. Because if you're thinking about getting into a game and you're thinking about hiring somebody to help you and following a blueprint and a process, it's not as important that I have success in it because I've done it for a long time.
Right.
It's important that you can see other people that were in your shoes not too long ago that were following a process that works and is duplicatable, and not one or two or 10, hundreds and hundreds.
Yeah.
That to me shows that there's more of a proven process. So that's our philosophy of why we do that and why we show that more than we show our own properties.
It's about a blueprint. And like you said, a process. Like we have that, and we want people that are considering getting into this game and getting this game with Vodacy to be able to not say, well, of course, Sean's the best in the market. He's the guru. He's the GOAT. He's all this. He can do it. You're right. He can do it. But we also have these other 100 people that can do it as well. And they followed our process. Yep. I always say on our school community, when people have a success story or a testimonial, I always tell them, thank you for following the process. Mm-hmm. Thanks for following the blueprint. Because if they do that, they'll have the steps and a proven process to be successful. When they don't do that, then it just becomes more challenging and more of a struggle. So I think that's that, and that's why we do that. That's why we show other properties so that everybody believes and understands they can do it too.
And we want to remove that objection of saying, I get Sean can do it, but I don't know if I can do it. And so we're just trying to remove that completely, saying, hey, listen, and subconsciously, we want them to think, and maybe some people do, maybe some people don't, when they look at somebody else and like, well, this guy's got all this money and he's got all the success and everything else, and he's showing me that, but he's never showed me anybody that he's helped.
Right.
Maybe they read through that, maybe they don't read through that. I don't know. Yeah. For me, it's important for me to see somebody else have success outside of the guru.
All right, let's jump in. We got one question today.
Okay.
Pretty simple. I don't think it'll take very long, but—
You never know with me.
Yeah, well, I mean, we could get into this. We could dive in deep. Would you rather have one great property or two okay properties?
Ooh, well, one, I would define great.
Top of the market, one at the top of the market, or, hey, I've got two, you know, so it's a little bit of a maybe a challenging question, because you got, let's say you have a $500,000 property that's just killing it, and then you got two $250,000 properties that are, they're doing okay. You know what I mean? And
so one, there's a lot of things that go into answering which one I would rather
maybe
have.
Maybe I should just do the speed round.
Right. You maybe should do
McDonald's,
the speed round.
Burger King, exactly. Like we did that's last easier. Time.
Well, here's the thing. Like, you start peeling back the layers of the onion and you're looking at, say, okay, where are those two properties located?
Sure.
What's the average appreciation? Are they, if they're okay in the market, some okay properties break even, some okay properties make a little bit of money. I'd much rather have two appreciating assets than one in most cases.
Yeah.
However, I'm going to take it just the basic level, a great property or two mediocre properties. I'm taking the great property and then I'm going to go stack another property on top of it. Right.
Yeah.
Because I'm a big believer that you don't move on and add another property until you've got the one property or the two that you own maximized.
Yep,
exactly. Yep. And you've heard me say that many, many times. Like you should maximize the assets you have. And because if you ignore them and you have okay properties, I've also seen plenty of times where those okay properties start to be a huge drain, right? And especially as the markets have shifted around,
right?
And so obviously we want as many assets as possible in the ownership model. We want to stack those assets because there's huge benefits for long-term wealth on the appreciation, the note pay down, the depreciation with taxes, all those different things. Having multiple assets makes a big deal, but it's really, really important to maximize the assets you have before you start stacking additional assets, because you will almost never go back to them and make them better.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
And so what will happen is you will start to have a mediocre portfolio. And when markets shift around a little bit, mediocrity doesn't make any money.
Right.
And mediocrity can actually lose you money. We're seeing that in the short-term rental game right now, right? The top of the market makes all of the money.
Yeah.
And so the top 20% of the market is making 80% of the income.
Yeah.
There's a lot of money being spent, but the middle of the market is struggling. And so if you have a mediocre portfolio, you're not typically breaking even, and you're losing money, and you're losing right. money, and before you know it, you're drowning.
Good answer. Well, that's it for today, buddy.
Okay,
good awesome. Episode, a little bit short, but yeah.
we'll wrap it up.
Okay,
let's wrap it up. All right, guys. Well, we always appreciate your time and spending it with us. We know how valuable it is. If you know anybody else that would love to be a part of these conversations, we'd love it if you could share the show. Those are things that really do help us. We don't run a bunch of ads on here and bring on sponsors, so you have to be listening to all that stuff. The only way we grow is to for you guys to share. And if you have more than 30 seconds, like and review the show and give us a thumbs up on whatever platform you're watching or listening on. And then the final and most important thing, Dave, that yep. I always tell them, right? The number one thing that they should do, pick that one thing you guys can do today, start building that life you don't want to take a vacation from. Cheers, my friends.
Cheers, buddy.
Okay, buddy.